I'm an anti-feminist because I think it's oppressive. I think it's anti-male. I think it's anti-femininity.
Now, it may be a very weak Brexit, but I tell you what, Brexit of any kind and leaving those treaties as well.
That's the best ever interview. The Michael Parkinson. You got nothing on this book.
The surprising phenomenon of people who see the world completely differently. What chair? The story goes that a student of philosophy was asked in an exam to prove a chair which had been placed where everyone could see it at the front of the exam hall did not exist. Students were expected to discuss the 20th century philosophers who posited ideas about subjective human experience and questioned our relationship with reality. But this two-word complete response, what chair, if the urban legend is to be believed, received top marks for its reflection of the possibility that the chair was an illusion of the examiner's mind. If you're a person who tends to vote right of centre, you're probably no stranger to feelings of bemusement, which sometimes approach sheer bewilderment at the way your counterparts left of centre label themselves and perceive the world around us. It's fair to predict the feeling may be mutual. People who believe marriage should be undefined, gender deconstructed, masculinity softened, freedom regulated, and debate censored have the temerity to call themselves progressive. Other examples of bizarre flights of fantasy include Doula UK, a service supporting women through labour and childbirth, who forced their spokeswoman to step down because she said only women can have babies. Surely this is like saying 2 plus 2 equals 4, but some people see the world completely differently. People who call themselves pro-choice believe there should be no protections for women seeking an abortion requiring professional counselling with no conflict of interest to ensure informed consent and adequate screening for family or intimate partner coercion, sex trafficking, and child sexual assault. They're especially indignant if independent counselling includes exploring other choices like adoption or available support if raising the child themselves. Pro-choice? For right-thinking people, it is incredibly difficult to credit with sincerity those others who call deliberately killing an innocent living human healthcare because the human is temporarily located in her mother's womb. Surely they can't be serious. A reasonable person might assume that defense of reproductive rights meant advocating for freedom from governments denying married couples the opportunity of having as many children as they want. But there are actually many people who employ that phrase to mean instead that governments have no right to interfere when a mother wants to kill as many conceived babies as she wants. Some people see the world very differently. What about Extinction Rebellion? Those willfully uncivilized people who repeatedly propagandized the physical imposition of their outrage on law-abiding citizens as peaceful protests. They refuse to cooperate with police, trespass private property, deny people's rights to free movement, obstruct public roads for thousands of commuters, and financially injure any small business in their proximity. Peaceful? Many of the people attending those protests and employing reality-denying euphemisms are simply ignorant, albeit with varying levels of education. They may really think they're actually supporting the environment or justice for oppressed minorities and not a socialist agenda to redistribute wealth and power. But that's why Lenin described such lemmings as useful idiots. Likewise, Antifa are impossible to take seriously. They claim to be anti-fascist by opposing small government, big freedom, low regulation, free enterprise, private property, and social liberty. Conservatism. Their objectives and methods are frighteningly similar to the uniformed heavies which violently assaulted organized political opposition to the authoritarian regimes of the 1930s and 40s. Far from a liberal, pluralistic democracy, they dream of a society where unapproved opinions are punished ruthlessly and criticism of the totalitarian politics they promote is altogether illegal. A now infamous Q&A episode featured a panel of radical feminists who unblinkingly advocated violence when experiencing political frustration. One rhetorically asked, "How many men do we have to kill before they stop raping us?" Not one person there thought that was an objectionable view of the world. animal rights activists are increasingly attacking blind people for the grave moral transgression, in their different view of the world, of having a guide dog. One writer for the UK's so-called Independent published an article titled, "The Prophet Muhammad Had British Values, so the only way to combat extremism is to teach more Islam in schools." I kid you not. A high-profile abortionist recently claimed the fight over abortion is really the fight to grant pregnant people personhood, to acknowledge them as deserving basic human rights and to respect their autonomy. Really. Such a mind-boggling display of inverted reality perception must be recognised as a serious handicap to productive dialogue and debate about an important issue. Western law clearly acknowledges women as people deserving basic human rights with autonomy once they're born. The fight over abortion is, in fact, the fight to limit autonomy at homicide and to acknowledge every member of the human family as equally deserving of the fundamental human right to life. After every abortion, only one person is left crushed and dismembered, retrieved piece by piece or a bloody pulp to be violently vacuumed from the safety of the womb and disposed of as biological waste. Only one person has been lethally denied personhood and regarded by perverted laws as another person's disposable private property. Only one person has been denied basic human rights. There are many, many more examples of utter absurdity presented as indisputable fact I'm sure you can think of, but this article will be unbearably long if we continue listing them. How have they talked themselves into actually believing the lies they're repeating and blinding each other to reality? The point is, these folks are serious. They seem to really believe what they're saying. Understanding your counterpart's arguments better than they do is the key to not only understanding your own, but to sharing it effectively. Recognizing that you may sometimes converse or debate with someone who truly thinks black is white and wrong is right is the first step in that journey. Heavy reliance on absurd euphemisms and Orwellian newspeak pervades left-of-center rhetoric in journalism, elected and activist politics, academia, and even entertainment. A regular visit to Twitter will be instructive in just how divided the camps are, shouting at each other across an impassable ravine of incompatible language choices. The omnipresent challenge for a right-thinking person is how to make yourself heard, and even before that, how to distinguish between counterparts who are sincere and those who simply do not want to hear. It would be a mistake to presume everyone sees the world with any allegiance to objective reality the same way you do. In some cases, the ideological adversary is being deliberately mischievous by misrepresenting reality in an attempt to support their flawed position. In some cases, such as those who are violent or advocate violence, it may be malice. In these cases, it is almost futile to try to be heard, although the arguments against absurdity may be instructive for those who are observing the debate and unsure of how to weigh their assertions. However, sometimes, if not often, the person insisting black is white and seeing the world in a completely different way is simply the result of a national curriculum and socialized education and is ill-equipped to discern between intellectual foolishness and reality. In cases such as the animal rights activists who think guide dogs would prefer to be playing in a meadow at midnight, it may be fair to remember Hanlon's razor. Never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity. We can either continue uselessly shouting across the ravine at the sufferers of black is white-itis, an inflammation of the emotions when exposed to reality, subsequently impairing perception and reasoning faculties, or we can look for a better way. My advice for engaging with people on the opposite side of an issue to you is firstly to allow they probably see the world entirely different to you. Responding to them in traditional English will be useless if they've redefined every word to suit their vision of how the world ought to be. Before being able to debate the issue, you need to find a common language. I don't mean to suggest condescension, but it really is too much to presume they know or value the biological definition of life or gender, let alone the contents of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Secondly, don't expect a light bulb moment for them just because you illuminated the subject for them. It may take many gentle encounters with an advocate of truth before it starts to dawn on them that wishful thinking never changed reality. The tone with which you engage them may speak louder than the logic you employ. It really does require patience and perseverance, as well as a gracious aversion to reflexively presuming malice of your counterpart. Remember, the most famous hymn is centuries old and written by a former slave trader who trafficked in human misery. Nevertheless, Amazing Grace was written by John Newton, who repented from exploitation and oppression of others and went on to inspire a young William Wilberforce to serve God in politics. He, in turn, was instrumental in ending the industry, which in that century also treated living humans as disposable private property. Likewise, some modern abortionists, with the blood of thousands of dead children on their hands, have left the industry remorseful, and many have even become human rights advocates, speaking out against that vile trade. It is fair, and I think helpful, to not assume malice on their part, even while they rage against truth, but to patiently tease out reality. Finally, learn to distinguish when someone is truly repellent to reality. Black is white-itis is known to obscure the sufferer's ability to rationally interact with honest disagreement and often results in sufferers aggressively attacking people who disagree with them. It's prudent to maintain a safe distance and only exchange ideas with people who are not displaying these symptoms. Some people really don't see the chair and disturbingly progress to hating the chair and everyone who rests on it. Hey there, this is Dave Pello. Letting you know, if you want more from Pello Talk, then you should head to my website, davepello.com, and subscribe to email updates. You can also join the debate on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This episode of Pello Talk was made possible by the generous monthly sponsorship of Pello Talk Partners.